The latest nursing news and information brought to you by the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future. This is Nursing Notes Live. Nursing Notes Live is an audio extension of the national award-winning monthly e-newsletter, Nursing Notes, which offers the latest industry news, trends, and updates in nursing. You can subscribe to the e-newsletter at www.discovernursing.com. Each month's Nursing Notes issue is accompanied by a select few episodes of Nursing Notes Live, which expands on the content and provides you greater insights into the topics presented in the e-newsletter. You can listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. On Nursing Notes Live this month, we will chat with home health nurses. In this episode of the Nursing Notes Live podcast, I got the opportunity to interview our get-to-know nurse, Greg Burns, of Home Health Visiting Nurses of Southern Maine. He's focused on pediatrics and parent education for infants who are able to leave the hospital but deal with developmental obstacles. Here's that interview. Hi, Greg. Welcome to Nursing Notes Live. It's great to have you on the show here. I thought I'd ask you our traditional first question for our get-to-know nurse in the month, and that is, what is it about nursing that drew you to this profession?
Well, thanks, Jamie. I actually wanted to be a nurse when I was a teenager, when I was about 16, actually. I did some work on as a junior firefighter and rescue personnel. Got an EMT, when I was quite young, and decided, early on at that point that I really wanted to kind of get into nursing. I had a chief who I worked under who was a nurse at one of the local hospitals, and she was kind of my role model, and really, watching her work, watching how she dealt with people really intrigued me and made me want to, kind of follow into the profession.
That's interesting you say that. That's actually partly my background. I was originally an EMT, then a paramedic, and people kept saying, you really treat patients like a nurse treats patients. You should continue and move forward and become a nurse. And that's what drew me into nursing school, was that passion to continue building on my healthcare education and continue going that direction. It's interesting. You're actually the first person I've interviewed that said that, though, that has had a similar career path. So that's interesting. What was your educational path like that drew you into eventually going into the career path of home health care?
Yep. So I out of high school, I started pre-nursing, is what it was called at that point in time, and through USM, University of Southern Maine, Portland Gorham. There are two campuses actually. The pre-nursing track was, kind of all the sciences and all that kind of stuff. To actually get into the nursing school, you had to then reapply. So I had to kind of do that. Before I did that, I took 3 years actually of pre-nursing because I did a kind of music theater minor as well. And I actually took a year off in the middle of that, kind of just to reevaluate and make sure I was making the right decisions, make sure this is what I wanted to do. And went back in earnest after that year off, having reapplied to the School of Nursing and being accepted. I was the only guy out of 43 students at that point in time. It was really interesting. I feel like I had a little bit of a tough time in nursing school because of being a guy, which is really interesting, because a lot of guys that I talk to, they talk about it being not having had a hard time. And I think I felt almost like I was having to break into a sorority, as it were, in a way. And so that was a really interesting piece for me. But I graduated cum laude from University of Southern Maine, and prior to graduation, I had gotten a job on an ortho unit at Maine Medical Center and did that through school and then after school.
So what drew you from working in a hospital setting to moving into home health care? Because mm-hmm. that is quite a shift, and I'm curious what moved you in that direction.
Yeah. So interestingly, not to go on and on here, but I started as a med-surg nurse, and then after 3 years moved to pediatrics and worked on pediatrics at Maine Medical Center for a good 6 years after that. So, and at that time as well, I was working at Maine Children's Cancer Program. So that was that was my clinic experience. I worked as a clinic nurse there, kind of did those two simultaneously, worked in the hospital and then worked also in the clinic. So I got to see a little bit of, you know, patients coming in from their homes and that kind of thing. And I left both of those jobs. I had a friend who was a hospice supervisor at a local home health agency and really kind of, you know, heavily recruited me and to do both pediatrics and adults. And, you know, at first I was kind of, you know, I was a little leery of it. I decided to go ahead and give it a shot. Because I liked the idea of being out of, you know, the four walls of the hospital and of the clinic and actually wanted to see what that was all about, to go into somebody's home. And, you know, I did a year, I did 3 years with this agency, Community Health Services. I really never looked back. I started a program called the JASON program, which is a palliative care and hospice program for children, and that was a home-based program as well. We traveled to people's homes to kind of offer the care and help create communities of care for kids, you know, living with critical illness out in the communities of Maine. And then after that, I got this job at Home Health Visiting Nurses and have been on their maternal child health staff now for 6 years, and it's been great, and I'm helping to create a palliative care program at this organization right now as well.
That must be incredibly difficult to you know, we think of home health care and I think a lot of people think of taking care of sick elderly people. And if you're thinking about hospice, you're thinking about critically ill, terminally ill elderly people. But, you know, there are children that are in those situations as well. And we need home care in for those specific patients, too.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's an underserved population, actually. And it's one of those things, you know, that's the question that I most get asked, right, about doing pediatric palliative care. You know, how do you do that? And, you know, I struggled with that question for a long, long time, like coming up with an answer for that. And, you know, I've worked hard to understand as much as I possibly can about pediatric palliative care and, you know, pain management, symptom management, kind of all of that kind of stuff. And so I have this set of skills now. And so my answer to the question is now, you know, how do I not do that? You know, like if I have this set of skills and I can offer these things to families, then it's almost like imperative that I do that.
And I've always found with pediatric patients that you really are managing an entire family of people that need some assistance and care. I mean, you're not just, it's not just with an adult patient where you just have the adult to deal with, but you also right. have the entire family of caregivers, perhaps siblings, perhaps parents, perhaps even aunts, uncles, and others. So how do you approach that particular situation?
So one of the key, you know, tenets of a good palliative care or hospice program is that you do this work with a team. You know, there is always a team available, and you approach the family together. So in other words, there's a nurse, doc, social worker. We've you know, kind of always tried to have a clergy member involved. You know, and you approach the family as an interdisciplinary team, and you provide whatever is needed at whatever given time. And that is, you're right, you know, Jamie, for the whole family, you know. So very often we've got to, you know, if I'm involved, as the doctor and myself are working perhaps on, you know, good symptom management, while the social worker is actually working with the siblings of the child or the parents of the child, and, you know, perhaps also grandparents. You know, you never know kind of like what the makeup of that family is going to be and where the, you know, who has what role. So it's really, you know, this type of work, you know, pediatric palliative care is, you know, you're really delving into that family structure, and it is, you know, you are caring for the whole family when you're providing that kind of care.
So what does it take to be a good nurse in that situation? I mean, if someone's listening to this and they say, you know what, I think I can provide care for that people in that environment, what skills should a nurse or even a nursing student try to foster in their education and their career process in order to facilitate them to move into that type of position?
So there are all of the clinical skills, right? Like, you know, you have to have a good working knowledge, and not just a working knowledge, but an excellent knowledge of good pain control and good good symptom management. Critically ill kids can have so many different problems that you kind of have to know about every situation. You have to be able to approach. I say pliability is one of the things that you need to have. You need to be able to approach every situation and try to understand it, and be able to, when you have knowledge gaps, go and find that information. So that's, you know, one of the first things. So good working knowledge of pain and symptom management, an ability to be able to be pliable and to you know, kind of figure things out as you go along. But then also there's another kind of pliability, and I think it has to do with when you are going into these situations with these families, you really have to kind of put your agenda to the back, you know, and really find out what the needs of kids and these kids and families are, and address those as well as what you have on your agenda. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And I'm curious, you know, because when you do that, when you take some of your own self out of the picture, that's good patient care, but you also at some point have to address how you manage your own feelings about what you're doing. And like you said,
absolutely,
people have asked you the question, but I'm curious, what have you had to change, or what have you adapted in yourself to manage the stress of dealing with these
right,
critical situations?
Right. So that's the other piece, right? You know, you kind of hit it right on the head. The other piece is good self-care. So in order to do the work, one has to then rely on that team to be able to do the debriefing that's necessary, to be able to really kind of lay out your own feelings about situations. You know, certainly one could walk into any one of these situations with any one of these children and become a puddle on the floor, because I've dealt with situations and deal with situations that are completely, you know, tragic. But the thing to remember as a nurse, as a provider, is that, you know, you don't want to then also become another person that the family then has to take care of, right? So you really, really need to keep yourself in check in that respect and rely on that interdisciplinary team, and also rely on the things that you do for yourself to kind of fill yourself up. I play music a lot, and I listen to a lot of music, and, you know, those two things, you know, give me a great deal of solace. I meditate a lot, you know, that's another piece that kind of gives me that ability to kind of clear and clear my mind and really tap into my heart, you know. But then there's also things like, you know, I fish. I play with my grandkids, you know. I do all kinds of different stuff to celebrate life.
Yeah, that's important. When you build a program like this, do you try to build some aspects of self-care for the nurses and the other team members in the program as part of it? Or is that something you leave up to their own professionalism that they're going to manage that themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the areas, Jimmy, where we need to maybe do a bit better job of checking each other on. One of the things I've been involved in a state level with the Maine Hospice Council here in the state of Maine. One of the things we used to do on a regular basis, well, on a yearly basis, was we had a self-care retreat that, you know, as many as 100 people used to attend. And that retreat was geared toward, you know, all of the things that we all kind of traditionally think of as good self-care kind of. And so there were workshops, there were, you know, there were massages available, there were, you know, all kinds of different healing arts types of things available at these retreats to kind of help people remember that this is a part of the work, you know, that if we don't keep ourselves fulfilled in this way and checked in this way, then, you know, we run the risk of becoming, you know, burnt out. And I do think that it's important and incumbent upon us really to take care of one another, you know, the people that are doing this work, you know, in whatever way we can, you know, and you know, the interdisciplinary team is a really important piece in this, and, you know, being able to, like I said, kind of debrief and really be able to lay yourself out on the table if you need to kind of to really talk through things is important. But it's there is an element within each of us that we have to do as professionals, like you're saying, you know, so there's a little bit of both.
And I think, you know, from my experience, it's just as birth is an incredibly important and almost a gift to be present during that part of someone's life. I for myself, I tend to look at those opportunities when I've had to share the final moments of someone's life with them in some small way and help ease them through that process and their family as well. I look at that as a very special time, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The other piece of this is that there is incredible inspiration that comes from this, you know, that to watch families and to watch children deal with these types of, you know, life changes and transitions is incredible. It's amazing. And one of the things that keeps me doing this work, I think, is that I kind of make it a point to learn, you know, the lesson from every patient that I see. You know, there's something new I can gather from every patient and family that I come into contact with. And I'm always trying to open myself up for that as well.
Just shifting gears here a little bit, we always get a couple of questions in, and often from student nurses asking for some piece of advice that you might be willing to share. And I guess my question that I would select from that pile of emails that we get is, what is that piece of advice that you received from another nurse or a mentor or maybe an educator at some point in your nursing career that you've found is really something you carry with you day to day in your nursing practice?
So the thing there's a woman named Virginia Fry that I have done, you know, she's written a lot of books, and she's, I actually saw her speak one time back about almost 20 years ago now, and her talk still kind of resonates for me. And the thing that she said, the one thing that she said that resonates for me, and it's almost like I kind of like try to say it to myself at least once a day, and that is, you know, when you enter somebody's home, and really when you enter somebody's life, you know, you really need to do that on your knees. You know, there's a humility here, and there is That's part of that kind of selflessness. That's part of that kind of taking your stuff out of the equation and really figuring out what it is that you can do for people. Because, you know, the medicine piece is just one small part of it.
Make sure you check out the entire February 2015 issue of Nursing Notes, where we look at what it's like to be a home healthcare nurse. You can read the entire issue at www.discovernursing.com. And don't miss the other Nursing Notes Live episode this month, where I had a discussion with Elaine D. Stevens, Executive Vice President of the National Association for Home Care and Hospice, and former chair of the Home Healthcare Nurses Association. Also joining us during the Home Health Nursing panel discussion is Barbara Burgess, Chief Executive Officer of Pathways Home Health, Hospice and Private Duty, and board member of the Visiting Nurse Associations of America. You'll find this and other episodes of Nursing Notes Live in the podcast area on iTunes. Nursing Notes Live is produced for the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future by Medicast Productions. All rights reserved.